This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:05 in the evening, and as promised, now we've got today's Pulpit Parliament. Kelvin, today, of course, is International Human Rights Day, according to the United Nations, and we'll be addressing that. But first, we need to talk about this. Did anyone say anything about Saturday's rally, which celebrated the government's decision not to ratify the ICERD?
I figured I should start with the spiciest comment. It came from Tajuddin Abdul Rahman, MP for Pasir Salat of UMNO. He had a pretty colourful way of saying that the UN should not interfere with matters in Malaysia. He's of course referring to the idea that ratifying the ICERD would jeopardise Article 153 of the Federal Constitution on the special position of Bumiputras. I let him put it in his own words.
Dia mengatakan bahawa, you know, there are so many Muslim countries that already ratified the convention. I said, yeah, why not Malaysia? Malaysia is also a Muslim country. But adakah sama Malaysia dengan Saudi Arabia, dengan Turki? United Nations pun kita tahu. Who control United Nations? Who control United Nations? It's the Westerners, the Western people, the American, the European. They were the colonial before, who colonial our country. So now they want to colonialize us again. And that's what I mean. Go to hell with the United Nations. If they don't want to know more about what is happening in Malaysia, the truth about the Malaysian people, how we live together despite, you know, their privileges, the Bumiputra, we respect the others. There's no discrimination. Jangan mereka pandai-pandai tuduh kita discriminating one group against the other. I would like to invite the United Nations and the what? Human Rights Commission people from UN to be my guest. Come to Malaysia, have a dialogue with me and many of our people here, so that it is sekolahkan dia.
What are they planning to sekolahkan the UN about? I am not sure what I got from that. It's so strange how there continues to be this notion that human rights is something that the West is trying to export. A, that's a problem, and B, as if it is a problem that they're trying to export a good thing. I'm not sure I fully understand that.
Oh, you know, we have a lot of local context to understand. We have our own Asian values we need to prioritize. I guess that's what he's saying, that perhaps, hey, UN, please come to Malaysia, talk to me. I'm an expert on Asian and, well, quote-unquote, Oriental values.
It's just, it's so incredibly bothersome. And the mindset that occupies that statement just, I have no words.
I love his pride. He's so proud.
Yes, there is that. There is at least that. There's a lot of confidence in forming those statements. Moving on from the ICERD then, what else happened today?
So Tabung Haji, that issue continues to be the matter today in Parliament, with a press conference by Minister in Charge of Religious Affairs, Mujahid Yusof Rawa. A week ago, Tabung Haji lodged two police reports against its former chairman, Abdul Aziz Abdul Rahim, as well as other individuals who held senior positions for alleged mismanagement of funds. So today, Mujahid revealed that PricewaterhouseCoopers, PwC, had conducted an audit on Tabung Haji and found out that its liabilities amounted to 74.4 billion ringgit. I'll just say that figure again, 74.4 billion ringgit, which exceeded its assets by 4.1 billion. According to Mujahid, this means that Tabung Haji had been paying out dividends, or hibah in Islamic financial terms, illegally,
as this contravened the Tabung Haji Act 1995, I think.
Yes, thank you. As this contravened the Tabung Haji Act 1995.
Finding ini menunjukkan bahawa pemberian hibah itu bercanggah dengan Akta Tabung Haji yang menyebut perkara demikian, iaitu aset mesti melebihi daripada tanggungan untuk mengeluarkan hibah. Bermakna dia kontradik sendiri dengan dia punya undang-undang. Yang syarat kedua, tadi syarat aset dengan liability, so aset tak boleh lebih rendah. Syarat kedua ialah mesti ada untung. Mesti ada untung baru boleh keluar. Both of these condition was not fulfilled, tapi mereka masih mengeluarkan hibah. Bila mereka buat begitu? Sejak 2014.
So did the minister mention then what they'll be doing to address the matter?
Yes, so they'll be taking action to restore Tabung Haji's balance sheet and also maximize the recovery of underperforming assets. And one of the things they've decided to do is to place Tabung Haji under the supervision of Bank Negara. This, according to Mujahid, is to win back the trust of depositors.
And did anything else catch your eye today?
So Kepong MP Lim Lip Eng, together with Kampa MP Thomas Su, held a press conference to talk about the dire state of the Malaysian Police Training Centre, or Pulapol, in Kuala Lumpur. So some of the problems reported by trainers themselves were broken lighting as well as toilets. It's quite a dire state. So, you know, the elevators are also not working and have been spoiled for 2 years, since 2 years ago, and not to mention mass food poisoning that affected many trainees.
In March, there were mass food poisoning, 25 cadets admitted to hospital. The second incident in May this year. And the third, the latest one, is on the 28 and 29 of October. 14 orang cadet masuk hospital oleh sebab food poisoning. The food supplier, they supply all the rotten chicken and fish. This year alone, there are 3 incidents of food poisoning, mass food poisoning. And this is not the first time. This is only 3 cases this year. The past many years, so many cases. And the Home Ministry are still using the same food supplier. Why? So I want our Home Minister and our Cabinet to seriously look into this Pulapol issue.
So you just heard there from Kepong MP Lim Lip Eng talking about the state of the Malaysian Police Training Centre, or Pulapol, and that just, it doesn't sound safe.
Or healthy. It's so gross that they actually have been fed rotten fish and chicken.
This really isn't the state in which you want our cadets to be training in order to be Malaysia's finest. I agree with MP Lim. I hope that they actually manage to address this, because it sounds very much like it needs to be a priority. I understand that there was also mention of abandoned vehicles today. What is the story there?
Yeah, so the Transport Ministry estimates that there are around 60,000 to 70,000 abandoned vehicles nationwide, and it's become a bit of a headache for local councils. Minister Anthony Lok said today that the reason why local councils can't tow away many of these vehicles is because of the difficult process to deregister the cars. So easing the deregistration process will be one of the goals of the several amendments to the Road Transport Act, which was tabled for the first reading in Parliament today.
Sekarang ini kita ada proses mendaftarkan kenderaan. Very clear. Car registration. Tetapi kita tak ada proses penyadaftaran ataupun deregistration. Jadi pindahan ini kita akan membuat satu prosedur supaya dapat kita menambah baik proses pembatalan pendaftaran. Supaya ini dapat membantu untuk kita melupuskan sesuatu kenderaan terbiar itu. Kerana sekarang ini banyak tempat PBT, khususnya di bandar-bandar besar, mereka ada satu masalah besar, iaitu banyak kenderaan terbiar yang dibiarkan di kawasan-kawasan perumahan. PBT menghadapi masalah untuk mengangkut ataupun membawa kenderaan itu kerana pendaftaran itu masih hidup. Jadi kita nak membuat satu proses memudahkan proses deregistration. Sejurus selepas kereta itu deregistered, maka PBT boleh melupuskan kenderaan itu dalam kadar yang segera. Jadi that will help in terms of addressing the issue of abandoned cars, abandoned vehicles in many housing estates.
That was Transport Minister Anthony Lok. Kelvin, have you seen a lot of these abandoned vehicles? Because I have to say, in my neighbourhood alone, there have been about 2 or 3 that I can think of within the last 5 years that have just sat there and you can see them slowly rotting.
I have. And I think in my experience, it's like, yes, it was good to see that for a while, I think City Council came by to stick up a sticker on its windscreen to say that, yo, this car is abandoned. we're going to tow it away sometime in the future if no one else claims it. I think over the years, though, that sticker has been eroded by rainwater, so it's not there. But the car is still there. Nothing has been done. Though, I think sometime last year, surrounding my area, I think I saw MPBJ just come and tow away 5 abandoned cars in this one housing shopping lot area. So that was quite good. But I'm not sure how long that process would usually take. It seems like it does take quite some time.
Let us know if you share this experience. Have you seen a lot of abandoned vehicles? Are they one of the 70,000 abandoned vehicles nationwide? And you can also talk to us about what you'd like to see amended in the Road Transport Act. It's something that concerns all of us. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio to let us know. In the meantime, what else can we expect from the amendments?
So there will also be fees charged for the approval to use tinted glass on vehicles. But an exception will be made for those who seek to do so because of health reasons. The minister said that more details will be announced soon.
Earlier today, of course, the Prime Minister also made the announcement that we won't, in fact, have local council elections. He said that conflict may arise from racial differences or even the rural-urban divide, which I confess to not fully understanding why that would be the case. Did anyone comment on that?
Yeah, so Finance Minister Lim Guan Eng said that while local council elections may be on DAP's agenda, they are not part of Pakatan Harapan's election manifesto. So they'll focus on the election promises first before moving on to other issues.
Of course, we'll continue to push it. But I think you've got to look at two levels. Number one is we have to deliver on the promises of the Pakatan Harapan Manifesto first. Then you look at the second level is where we have to convince Pakatan Harapan to agree to local government elections. The minister has actually agreed, YB Zuraida. Dr. Zuraida, she's agreed that it will be in 3 years. But I think she will have to convince the Prime Minister and the Cabinet last.
That was Finance Minister Lim Guan Eng. I also spoke with Maria Chin Abdullah, MP for Petaling Jaya, who's been a proponent for local council elections, otherwise known as the third vote. She said the idea that local government elections led to racial conflict is a myth and called for more awareness to be raised on the issue before making a decision.
From the bottom right to the top, those who are elected or those who are running services for the people must be made accountable. Yeah. So, whereas now the local councillors are not really accountable to the general public, but to the political masters because they are politically appointed. I'm not saying that all are of that nature. There are many councillors who are really hardworking and have delivered beyond, you know, the scope of their TOR. But generally, we want to have a better Malaysia and a more efficient one. So we need to have to think of other ways, and making them accountable through elections is one way. So I think it's a matter of introducing and raising awareness and let people try. If it doesn't work, we can review again. But we have not tried, but we are rejecting the idea.
So that was Maria Chin Abdullah, MP for Petaling Jaya. We are going to be covering this in a little bit more detail later on, local elections, with Rajiv Vishakaran, who is the Bukit Gasing Adun. In the meantime, you can let us know what you think. Do you agree with our Prime Minister that this is going to be a source of racial conflict, or is this something that you would like to see? Would you like to be able to vote in your council person? You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio to let us know.
So, you know, before we head off to our messages, I think I'd like to include this Human Rights Day message by Batukawan MP Kasturi Pato just to close off today's Popet Popet Parliament.
I think Malaysia, we have come a long way in talking about human rights, in sending a message that we uphold, we protect and we promote human rights in the country. But as what the chairman of Suhakam had said yesterday nicely, that in the past, Suhakam, which is the National Human Rights Commission of Malaysia, had always been looked at as a wallpaper decoration as far as the Barisan National Government is concerned. So the Pakatan government is more committed now to ensure that the marginalised, the oppressed and the voiceless and their rights are not trampled on as what had happened in the past. I wish everyone a International Human Rights Day, and also for all Malaysians to come together to put aside creed, religion, gender, even political background, to come together to stand up for human rights for all.
That was Batu Kawan MP Kasturi Pato. Kelvin, thank you so much for the update. And remember, we are asking you, what have your experiences been with abandoned cars? Because soon there's going to be a plan, finally, on how we're going to deal with that issue. The Transport Ministry is coming up with that. And we also want to know, how do you feel about that third vote? Do you want to vote in local councils? Is that important to you? Or do you think that it might be a source of racial strife? You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Cheryl Fazli saying, just tow the cars and the owners have to collect it before a year has gone. Otherwise, just recycle it. Dio, meanwhile, says, abandoned cars, it is everywhere, especially in housing areas, which is true. We were just talking about that, and in both our neighbourhoods, we've seen it. So it's clearly a problem.
I think it's even worse when the housing areas are not closed off or they don't have a guardhouse. I think that people are just free to abandon their cars. Or for some reason, in places where there are a lot more immigrants, I find that there are also a lot more abandoned cars. I think once they leave, they just don't know what to do with the cars. So just less, one thing less to think about.
Zach says, hoping that the Transport Ministry will do the following. One, remove the speed limit. Two, have an act to fine those who hog the roads. Three, have an act to fine people who simply litter out their windows. I'm curious about that notion of removing the speed limit. Let us know if you agree with that, because I think they serve some function. I understand that road hogging is a huge problem, but I don't know if removing speed limits entirely is the way to go. Anyway, we're talking about abandoned cars as well as what you would like to see come out of the Transport Ministry's amendment to the Road Transport Act. You can also talk to us about local council elections. Do you want to be able to vote in your local council person? That number to WhatsApp is 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. We're headed to some messages, but we will be back. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.